You know, while I was preparing for what I wanted to share tonight, I heard a great story and thought, man, that's going to fit. That's going to be so good. It's going to be the best illustration I've ever used. And on Thursday night, I thought, let me just make sure. So I went to the most authoritative thing I knew, and I went to Google and tried to find, I actually went to YouTube first, tried to find a video of this person's testimony, and couldn't find it, and went to YouTube, and I found a lot of obituaries, obviously, at her funeral. But then I found a story from Time magazine where they wrote an article on her. And I read it and I thought, man, I used to like that preacher. But man, he told a long, long story and it was nothing like the story that happened. There was a kid involved, there was none. And so I was quite disappointed and thought, I'm not going to use that story tonight. So you're not even going to get to hear what it is. But the point of what I'm saying is, don't just believe what you hear. You know, if someone just says something or if you hear something, are you prepared to bet your eternity on what someone up here says? You need to check for yourself. So get a Bible, read the Bible, see what God says. You can even Google stuff. You can Google, what does the Bible say about that? And normally you just got to make sure you're reading good stuff. Or you can go to Dave Mann's website. It's got some incredible stuff. Do not believe what you hear, because you might repeat it and then you look like a fool. So, okay, so make sure. Don't put your eternity in someone else's hands. I'm going to talk about one of the parables or one of the stories. Not really a parable. It's a story of what happened, a miracle that Jesus performed. And I love all the stories and the miracles that Jesus did. And there's some crazy stuff, man. Can you imagine being at the wedding where he turned water into wine? Just think about it for a moment. I mean, that had to be unbelievable. One of the other crazy ones was a blind man who wanted to see. I don't know how I would have responded. He couldn't see, thank goodness. But I don't know how the crowd around him would have responded when he spat in the mud and put it in the dude's eyes. I mean, that had to be pretty, whoo. But I've got one that I think is probably one of my favorite out there stories, okay? So if you got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2, and I'm just going to read a couple of verses. If you haven't got, I'll read it for you. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back in town, or back in the home. Soon, the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him in to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug through the roof above his head, then lowered the man down on his mat right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. And then verse 6, the Pharisees got a little bit upset about that. And verse 8, Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. And he asked them, why do you question in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? And Jesus then said, so I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. Man, that story's got to be out there. Hey? Let's pray and ask that God will just speak to us. Dear Lord Jesus, we believe every word that was written there, right there. We believe that that is the written, inspired word of God. We read in the Bible where people stood when the law was read because they had reverence and respect and fear for the word of God. And we want that in our hearts. And tonight we ask you, would you speak to us? Wherever we come in from, whatever our background is, would you just speak to us from this story that we would be changed, that we'd be a bit closer to you than we were before? In Jesus' name, amen. That is the heart of our church, is to bring anyone who's not close to God, closer to God. And if you're close to God, even closer. Because we just love God. We know the reality. The best decision I ever made was the day I accepted Jesus. And today we're going to see some people who have accepted Jesus and chosen to believe that this is real. And as a public sign, they're now going to get baptized. And we're excited for that and excited you've come to watch tonight. You know, I don't know if you ever really think about what you're reading. I mean, if you just think about the story, I think sometimes we think about snapshots and we just, oh, yep, man down the roof, done. You know, but sometimes a picture doesn't tell you the whole story. I often see pictures of a dad on a beach with an incredible sunset and he's throwing a little kid in the air. And it just looks so idyllic and you think, man, that's incredible. You never get to see if he actually caught the kid. I mean, you don't know what happened after that. Now, I think some of us read the Bible that way. We just see the snapshot, and we don't really think about it. And so when you think about that story, you know, we don't know, did the paralyzed man ask these four guys to take him? We don't know if they just scooped him up and took him along. We don't even know if they're friends. Can you imagine being in the room and a little bit of dust starts coming down and some stuff starts falling? I'm sure someone would have shouted, drop cover hold or something. This is an earthquake going down or something. Can you imagine being the homeowner? The Bible doesn't say what happens after they left. You know, did they fix it? I was wondering, where did health and safety go? Were they harnessed or, you know? It was an amazing story. They dropped the man down and Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. I can imagine if I was one of the four, I'd have gone, could we get him walking? Because we don't take him back out through the roof. You know, we don't know none of that. Can you imagine the guy lying on the floor while they're busy digging through the roof, thinking, what are these guys going to do? I know it was guys. The Bible may not be clear, but I know it was guys because women would never have done that. They would never have got on the roof and done something so risky. But imagine what he was thinking. What are these guys going to do? What happens if they drop me? I mean, I know he couldn't walk, but you still don't want to be dropped down from a roof. And so you've got to think this whole story through. And as I was thinking about it, I thought, man, there's 100 sermons in this story. There are just so many things you can speak about. So you'll be pleased to know I'm only going to talk about 5 quickly, not 100. And we're just going to go, and I wrote them down, 1 to 5. And then when I was preparing this afternoon, I thought, I'm going to go from the back. So I'm going to go from number 5 up. So if you're a note taker, you can write out number 5. And so the part of the verse says, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. Now, Pastor Alan has said a few times, every story in the Bible, you can probably place yourself inside every single character. And somewhere in your life, you're going to fit in every single one of those. So if you imagine tonight that story I've just told you, who do you imagine yourself to be? I'm sure there's some of us, we might go, I might even be one of the Pharisees. Like, okay, let me see what you're going to do. There's some of us who, if we're really good, we'd be the hosts. Got people in my house, and I wonder if that's going to be fixed. And some of us might be one of the four, where we helped someone and we brought someone to church. But some of us might be the man on the mat. And so, number 5, I want to talk to you about being the person who's on the mat. You know, sometimes you've actually got to humble yourself to let other people carry you. Because sometimes we're so proud, we don't want help from anyone. But I want to believe that this guy said, man, I've heard Jesus is in town. Would you guys take me there? Because I believe that he can heal me. When last have you asked someone to take you somewhere and to help you and to say, man, I need help? You know, in a recent survey, one of the magazines in America said that 70% of Americans felt they were better than other people. 70% of Americans felt they were better than other people. Pastor Alan on Easter weekend said, quite amazing, even Jesus needed someone to help him carry the cross. Who do you think you are? We all need people to help us, to carry us and to move us along. Can I say to you, though, just the way society is today, I want to challenge you that you need to ask people to speak into your life. Because no one's going to just do it. They might mention it to their wives, but they're not going to come to you and say, mate. But if you ask them and say, man, you know, you hang around me often. I'd love you to speak to me about the way I handle my kids or the way I talk to my wife. At work, find a Christian colleague and say, man, I'd love you to talk into my life the way I speak to people around me or the example I'm living. Imagine the help that's going to be. But if you don't ask people, they're not going to do it. And so I want to challenge you. We're a body. We're the body of Christ. We're family. Who have you asked to speak into your life? I've got several people that I've said, you, whenever you want it, you can speak into my life. Some have and some haven't. I don't know if that's good or bad, but that's just the way it is. You know, men are probably a little bit worse than women because we have a nothing box and we're pretty quick to go there and we're quite easy to relax there. And friendship can be quite an effort. But I want to tell you, we need people around us. One guy carrying that mat would have been very difficult, but if you've got people around you. And that's why the Lord's Prayer says, Our Father, because we're part of a community. And I'm more and more convinced that you cannot really serve God if you're not involved in a community, because you'll never be able to reach the full potential of what God has for you. So let's make sure we do that. Sarah spoke last week, and if you haven't listened to the podcast, I'd love you to listen to it. Our pastor's daughter, what a great advert for them as parents. But she spoke about blind spots, and what a revelation. She said, you know, when you're in a motor car, you've got several blind spots. But anyone who's outside of the car can see those blind spots. They're not blind spots to that person. And in your life and in my life, while we drive in the car, there's a lot of blind spots we can't see. We want and need brothers and sisters around us that are close enough that can say, man, you've missed that blind spot. You haven't seen that. You haven't noticed that. So why don't you get people around you, people to see the things that you haven't seen. Number four. So we've got number five. Number four, the next verse, it says, they tried to take him inside, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. Who of you have ever heard this line before? God closed the door. Well, that doesn't work in that story because the door was practically closed, but they made another way. And I want to tell you today, unless you're real convinced that it's God that's stopping you, you need a bit of an urgency in your heart that you can keep going to get to Jesus. Because let me tell you, in the world we live, there's a lot of things that are going to stop you getting to Jesus. And I don't think they're doors. And God's definitely not closing them. They're things we've put around ourselves, things we keep ourselves busy with and entertained with. The biggest threat we have today to our faith and to Christianity is probably distraction. We are more distracted than we've ever been. Don't put your hand up now, but people sit in church on their phones, checking the news. And I mean, how much more distracted can you be? These guys had an urgency. They got there and saw a bit of an obstacle, and they were going, no matter what the cost, we're going to get to Jesus. They made some effort to do it. They were prepared to meet Jesus no matter what. And I've heard people say, what? Go to church every Sunday, maybe twice a Sunday. What? Well, how much are you prepared to pay to get into a real, genuine relationship with Jesus? I need church as much as I can get because as the week goes on, the world seems to rub off on you and you need more of Jesus and get together with a celebration with people that are going to be in community with you and love and help you move to where you know Jesus better. How desperate are you to meet Jesus? You know, time is short. You know, the guys in the Bible days were saying the kingdom of God's at hand. The end is near. Well, how much closer are we now? You know, I, along with quite a few others in the room, have lived more than half our lives already. And you've got to realize, man, time is short. We need to make sure that we make the most and get as close as we can. Number three, next verse was, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, young man, your sins are forgiven. Everything in our relationship with Jesus starts with our sins being forgiven. I'm sure that was the first thing Jesus said. They would have gone, that's not what we came here for. But Jesus realized that's the root of everything. You need your sins forgiven. You know, almost every miracle that Jesus did, sin is spoken about. He said to the prostitute that was brought before with the crowd, where they wanted to stone her, he said, go and sin no more. He said to numerous of them, your sins have been forgiven. Sin has to be dealt with in our lives. And if you want to get close to Jesus, you need to take sin and ruthlessly eliminate it from your life. You need to take it serious. I wonder if Jesus had stopped at that verse, your sins are forgiven, and left it there, and we were the person that was on the mat being lowered down, would we have been disappointed? My challenge to you is, do you realize how much sin you have been forgiven of? Sometimes we think we want more, and I want God to bless me with a house, and I want God to bless me with all these other things, when the amount of sin that God has dealt with in our lives should be more than enough. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No matter how good you are, you need your sins to be dealt with. And I also think we need to take sin seriously. Things like pride, envy, greed, gluttony. They sometimes are sins that we sort of just overlook because, well, they're not bad sins. There's no levels with sin. Jesus didn't say to the guy, your bad sins are forgiven or your small sins are forgiven. He just said, your sins forgiven. And when you come to Jesus, he can deal with all. The Bible says, if you are faithful and you confess, if you confess your sins to God, he's faithful and just to forgive them. Can I ask you this? If you've been a Christian for a while, when is the last time you've actually said to God, God, I want you to forgive me of that? When's the last time you've spoken to God about sin in your life? The Bible does say, let him who thinks he has no sin, he's a fool. I was amazed on the way to church this evening. I was talking in my mind about another guy in a car who was driving in a certain way. And I thought, I'm going to preach and I'm talking about this dude. What is the matter with me? God, I need you to deal with my heart. I need you to deal with my heart. So we need to make sure we come to Jesus first and foremost to have our sin dealt with and to have our sin removed from our lives. Number two, the next verse, second last one, it said, and immediately as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. My question to you, if you've met Jesus, have you left changed? If there's been no change, I want to say to you, go back to Jesus because you've missed something. An encounter with Jesus will change you forever. And it's not something you do, it's something that Jesus does inside of you. You see, I can change and I can fool all of you, but sooner or later, my God's going to drop. And my little facade will come down, but you can see what's there. And so you need to check for yourself. Have I changed? Can I say, maybe you've forgotten that Jesus changed you and you've just gone back to what you thought was where you should be. We need to make sure we turn. You know, the children of Israel saw incredible miracles. They saw the entire Egyptian army be drowned. And within no time, they were murmuring, they'd forgotten. When you've forgotten what Jesus has done in your life, you'll return to what you were doing before. So you want to make sure you never forget what Jesus has done in your life. And that'll make you leave different. The end of that verse said, he went home praising God. How much do you praise God for what he's done in your life? Or have you forgotten what he's done and you're grumpy because he hasn't done the next thing you've asked? The biggest complaint God had against the children of Israel was that they murmured and grumbled and didn't give thanks and praise. And so we should be a people that are praising because what God has done for us is unbelievable. God has changed our lives forever. My life is eternally different because of what Jesus has done. I have an eternity ahead of me that I never had before, one with God. And if I'm not the most excited and super enthusiastic person about that, there's something wrong. The bad news for anyone who doesn't smile a lot, your face should reflect what's happening in your heart. So there's a challenge. Start smiling, okay? And if it's not going well for you, hang out with the Upton boys for a weekend. They'll get you smiling. Amen? Right, number one. The verse that I want to read says, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, and then he went on and did the miracle. And this is the main thing I really want to speak about tonight. I read it for the first time a couple of weeks ago and I was blown away. It said, seeing their faith. So Jesus was talking to the four guys. He turned to the man. Yours and my faith can make a difference in someone's life. Who is your faith affecting today? Who is your faith going to affect this week? I've got three quick stories. I had two, and then while I started preparing this and made notes, and by the end of it, I had three. So I'll go through them real quickly. One of them is a German guy I knew back in South Africa. We used to ride a motorbike with him. His name was Urs, so U-R-S, Urs. It was hard to pronounce. I know the Kiwis probably can't pronounce that, but that was his name. And he was a great friend. We knew him through motorcycling, and we'd stopped on a road 10 or 20 kilometers out of a town, and we were turning around to go back. And this guy, if you just met him, you'd think he's a Christian because he spoke about Jesus Christ a lot. But he was not a Christian. And I'd sort of brought up the subject with him a few times, and he said something as he was getting on his bike, and he said, Jesus Christ. I said, Urs, one day you might need to call on that name to save you. And he sort of brushed it off, put his helmet on. Well, he died before he got those 22 kilometers into town. On a corner, ran wide, and he ran to an anthill, and he was killed instantly. And, you know, everything in me, I just thought, man, I said to him, and hopefully he remembered those words, and he cried out to Jesus Christ. I don't know what happened in that moment. Another, a lot of my stories are South African because I come from there. So another South African friend of mine, he was in the army with me in 1986 for 2 years. And believe it or not, I know it's hard to believe, but I was very quiet and I didn't talk a lot and I sort of kept to myself. And in the army, I do not remember witnessing to one single person, But I remember I always read my Bible. And whenever we had a pass, I'd go to church. And so the guys all knew, but I don't remember witnessing to anyone. And I can't do the maths properly, but about 5-6 years ago, I got a message on Facebook. There's some positive things about Facebook, very little, but I got a message on Facebook. This guy, good friend of mine, Graham, had come to Auckland and he wanted to come visit me. They were coming to Tauranga for the weekend. And so anyway, we met up with him, we caught up with him. That was great. And about a year later, he moved to Tauranga from Auckland, which must have been a God thing. That's a word for some people here today. No. anyway, we're having lunch with him. I've met his wife now. We're having lunch. And he said something. And I said, oh, you go to church? And he goes, yeah, we go to a church in town. And I said, how did that happen? And his wife starts laughing. And I said, what are you laughing about? And she says, tell him. And he says, well, she said, from the time we got married, whenever we spoke about anything, Graham would say, Victor said, you got to go to church. And so they went to church and got saved, and the rest of their history has changed. And you go, no way. You know, I do not remember nothing about that, but something in his head, and there he was. Your faith can carry other people. Your faith can bring people to Jesus. 3 weeks ago, I get a message from a guy that I used to play a lot of squash with. We got a little group of 5 or 6 of us who sort of play between each other. And he messaged, hey, do you want a game of squash? And I said, oh, sorry, man. I'm in Northern Ireland. I'm on holiday. I can't play with you. And that was okay. I think he got another game. A week later, I get a message from a good friend of mine who's also in this group who runs a squash club. He says, you're not going to believe it, but this guy's passed away. He was cycling around the boardwalk, wasn't feeling great, went into the bathrooms, had a heart attack, and he's dead. 42 years old. And immediately I thought, I don't remember telling him about Jesus. I remember talking to him about blended family because I'm in a blended family, and I remember saying, man, the only thing that got me through was God. But I never asked him about Jesus. And Friday night, I'm sitting next to the pastor who did the memorial service. I said, oh, you know, the guy, you did the service. He goes, oh, did you know him? I said, oh, I knew him very well. We used to play squash lots. I went to tournaments with him. We chatted. He says, did you tell him about Jesus? No, just to rub it in. And so my challenge to you and to myself, you know, I've got, we've always been challenged from church that we should have a few people that we pray for, you know, 4 or 5 names. And I have got, and he wasn't one of those. For some reason, the other guy we play with in the group, he was, because he was there from the beginning. But regardless, I want to be challenged that time is short. I just thought I'll see that guy again. And one day when he's in trouble, he'll ask me and I'll be able to explain to him that God loves him and has a purpose and a plan for his life. What's gone? And so it's changed the way I think. And I really believe and hope that it's going to change the way I live. Because I want to make sure that I don't miss that opportunity. And can I just say on top of that, it's God who saves people, not you. You just call to be a witness. If you haven't seen Jesus Revolution, this is an unashamed punt for the movie. Go and see it. It's in the cinemas in town. For those who don't know, go and see it. And what struck me the most in the movie was about how simple the gospel is. Everyone is running from something. Everyone's trying to find it somewhere, and they just need to know God loves them and God can change their lives forever. And so my challenge to you tonight is, are you praying for the people in your life to meet Jesus? You know, we read of revivals where God just swept through nations and cities. We only read that good part. The part that came before that was when they were praying. And so you need to pray. People don't get saved without you praying. And so if you've got 5 names, you need more names. Get 10, get 15. Every person that you know, you need to pray, Lord Jesus, that person can have a chance to come closer to you and encounter you. Everything starts with coming to Jesus. These guys picked the guy up on the mat and they took him to Jesus. And it changed his life. Who are you prepared to pick up? Who are you prepared to carry along? Who is affected by your faith? Your faith in this risen God, the Savior that was crucified for you and raised from the dead. Do you have faith in Him that's carrying someone else? Can we stand? I'm going to pray. And then we'll carry on with the service. Excited to see some people baptized who've made this great decision. So let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. And what an incredible story, how one guy gets lowered down and you change his life forever. And God, I'm aware that today in this building, any one person, yeah, you can change their life forever if they will only believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, and they would confess you with their mouths, they can be saved. And so, Lord, I pray that this word will stir any of us who have got saved, that we would take our faith and carry people closer to you, to meet you. And Lord Jesus, I pray that we'd be changed because of the word of God. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.